title, this is the whole story. The story that I want to talk about today, now you guys will have to excuse me. The medicine I take makes me dry mouth, so I might be taking a whole bunch of sips. Like I said, the thing I want to talk about today is the whole story. And it's out of the greatest book that was ever written. Even though the Gospels, the four Gospels, chronicle the work that Jesus did on the cross, it was not a mystery about the sacrifice that he would make for us.
Okay. See, that's Stacy. I thought you said this is me.
Now, the Old Testament prophesies about Jesus. Satan thought that he had backed God into a corner. He thought that if a man failed and he tempted man, and man failed, that he had undone what God had done. That he had tainted what God had done. But God put a plan in place. Now, before we really get into it, I have to say that we all have a story. Amen?
Amen?
We all have a story. You, me, everybody sitting here can tell you excerpts from their life. We have things that we can share, things that we don't want to share. Amen? And the little stories that we tell about our lives, there's even things that we've left out, you know, in our story that we would share with people, but we leave little facts out, and you know, God knows them. God knows our stories. Some of them even added great chapters to this story. I got a question. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could read our stories out loud to people, or somebody could just look in your book and read your story, and read about the great moments in your life, and all of the sad moments in your life, and the not so good moments. And if all these things were on display, maybe you would be ashamed. Maybe you'd be ashamed of how your story reads. You might even plead with people, you know, why don't you just wait until you get to the next chapter? You know, it gets better. You know? So sometimes you gotta say, well, what had happened was, you know, because some of our stories have a butt to them, right? Amen? So do you think it would really be fair for us to read about you right now and pass judgment on you right now? Because it's not the whole story. It's not the whole story until life is over. So I ask you a question. How do you want your story to read? How do you want your story to end? That is something that, you know, we'll get back to a little later, but I want you to think about it. Now, as I was saying earlier, God put a plan in place. And the plan involved the Word being made flesh. John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It involved the blood and redemption, Hebrews 9:12. He entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood in securing the eternal redemption. It involved the bread of life here. with us. John 6:51. I am the living bread and came down from heaven. Anyone eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. It involved love as God's gift and sacrifice. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you all know this, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. Most people know the story about the birth of Christ, or some version of it. They hear it from every Christmas time. Am I, amen?
Amen.
Most people that are not saved can even quote to you the story of Jesus' birth and tell you about the star, you know, and the three wise men, and the nativity scene, and they know about the angels and the wise men, and they even hear carolers sing songs about them. And we all rejoice in his coming. Some even go so far as to remind others that it's not about Santa Claus. He is not the main character in the story, but Jesus is the main character. Most who see this time focus on his arrival. But I dropped by to holler at you about the real purpose of this season. The real reason that Jesus came. And that brings us to our text today. Isaiah 53:1-5. Now, before I get into the text, I have to tell you that the word of God is amazing. You see, when that plan was put in place, the whole Old Testament started telling you about the plan. It was chronicled through the whole thing.
Right.
Until we get to the book of Matthew, where we see Jesus being born, and we see Jesus being baptized, and we see him turning water into wine, and we see him healing the sick, and healing everyone that came, and casting out demons, and teaching the disciples, and teaching crowds of thousands, feeding people with very few pieces of fish and bread. We see all these things happening because this is what Jesus was meant to do. But we look at the Old Testament and how the Old Testament was set up to show you him. To show you him coming down through time. Getting you ready for what was coming. So that you today can read about it. You today might have no excuse of what to do. Because you can look down through time in the pages of a book. And see that God loved you enough that he told about his son coming. Even before he arrived. He got you ready for incidents and occasions and things that happened and wars and betrayals and faithfulness and all these things that happened in the annals of time. Now you tell me, isn't God amazing that he can speak through his prophet and tell about a time during the book of Isaiah, was maybe 7 centuries before Jesus even walked the earth. But yet, he had these words to say in Isaiah 53:1-5. That who has believed what he has heard from us? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And if you'll notice that he's speaking in the sense where he's talking about us and not just me. So it's like somebody was witnessing this, like a group of people was witnessing this back through time. Ahead of time. Amen?
Amen?
For he grew up before him like a young plant.
Right.
And like a root out of the dry ground.
Right.
He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. You know what that means? It was saying it wasn't just some great, beautiful looking person that, you know, everybody would just look, admire, and follow.
Right.
You know, it's easier for people to follow people that look regal and look like they should be in charge and are beautiful. You follow beautiful people quickly, don't you? I mean, man, think about it. People follow beautiful people easier.
Right. Right.
Amen.
That must be why can't anybody follow me, huh?
And no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised. Was Jesus despised? Were these words true? Were these right words right? And rejected by men. Yes, Jesus was despised. Yes, Jesus was rejected. They said that he couldn't even speak to his own in his own land. Amen? A man of sorrow. And acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. And we esteemed him not. Isn't that amazing that so much power can come from someone that men didn't even esteem? Jesus. Surely, he has borne our griefs. How many of you have had griefs? How many of you have had sorrows in your life? Things that have made you weary. When you felt like you were alone. When you felt like you were doing this all by yourself. But that is not true because the Word said that he had borne our griefs. And he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgression. Here's the part that everybody knows. And they seem to only focus on this part. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get the time, you need to read the rest of the chapter. You got to read the rest of the chapter. Because it's going to really talk about what Jesus went through. It's going to confirm who he is. Because we know, because we get to read and see who he was. But it says that he was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And his wounds, and with his wounds we are healed. Now, you wonder, what does that have to do about the whole story? But I tell you, it has everything to do about the whole story. Because sometimes the world will make you skip over some things. And it'll give you a little bit of something to make you forget about what things were about. We rejoice in Jesus because he came to save you and me. We rejoice in Jesus because he came to take away the misunderstanding that the law gave. And to fulfill it. And shed blood for you. Because before this, can you imagine if we had to sacrifice a goat and a calf every time we did something wrong? Imagine if we were still doing this today. Right now we have altars all over the place. Some of us have 2 and 3 altars, amen? Some of you will find yourself sacrificing and worshiping all day. Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and did a work on the cross. And I don't mean to talk about that to depress you or to bring a message that you might think sounds dry. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a point of rejoicing for those who believe. This is a point of worship for those who know him. Because you know what he did for you. You know what he did for your brothers and your sisters. You know what he can do for your loved ones. You understand the work that he did because he's doing a work in you right now. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the work doesn't stop. The work continues that he does in you. We go through the Old Testament because it tells about him. But we go through the New Testament because he tells us how to live. He tells us how we grab our power. He tells us how we can make it through. He died on the cross. Jesus paid it all. He endured being beat, with the cat of nine tails. And the crown of thorns pressed upon his head, and the nails driven through his flesh. He suffered so much agony, and he suffered. They say he suffered from a condition called hemidrosis. I think I'm pronouncing that right, Sister Lois. Hemidrosis. Well, and this is a condition where the blood vessels flow into the sweat glands, and he sweat blood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He'll save his sweat blood for you. You were just that important.
Yes.
He loved you enough. Can everybody say the whole story?
The whole story.
The whole story. The whole story is not that a child is born. The child Jesus will grow up and begin to teach the faithful and strengthen them. And he would begin to show you how to walk the walk and talk the talk. And he will show you how to stir up the gift that is inside you. He became the ultimate sacrifice in order to redeem the lost.
Right.
Now those of you who are saved today were once lost. Amen?
Amen.
I know I was. And I needed him. Amen. I needed the words in the book. I needed the plan of salvation.
Hallelujah.
But you changed your story when you got saved, amen.
Come on, brother.
If you're sitting here today and you're unsure, then you need to repent. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This is not the prosperity gospel where they tell you if you're living in sin, bring $100. Because you can't buy your way into heaven. Oh, many have tried. But you end up falling flat on your face. Because guess what? Your money can soon perish. Recessions do happen. What I would not want is a recession in my spirit. Amen?
Amen.
But you need to repent if you're unsure and be baptized. How many of you know that that's plan. That's what you got to do.
Right.
You got to repent and you got to be baptized. Amen?
Amen.
You may be counted among the lost if you have not repented and asked Jesus to come into your life and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You might be counted among the lost if you walked away and are in need and you need to repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know it sounds repetitive, but guess what? It ain't going to change tomorrow. It ain't going to change the day after tomorrow. As a matter of fact, it ain't going to change next month. And Lord willing, if we're still here, it ain't going to change next year. You need to repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the plan. Jesus shed his blood for a reason.
Amen.
And the truth is that the joyful are going to still need him. And the sad will still need him.
Right.
And the man and the woman full of faith, guess what, will need him. Right. And the confused and the tired, the weary and the fed up, the backed up in the corner and the sick in your body, the anxious, the burdened, and the heavy laden, we need Jesus. He came because we needed Jesus in our story. I even dare to say that our story is incomplete without him.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
It is a sorrowful thing to know that many will come to the church year in, year out. Time after time they'll show up. Some even come Sunday after Sunday. And they'll be moved emotionally with the song service and the worship. Amen? But they won't make a real commitment. Not lip service commitment. I mean a real commitment. Some will come here every day. So every time the church opens and addicted to services. But they didn't take Christ into their heart. And the truth is that we can't go into another year like this. Why would you be so near the fire? Why would you be near so great a salvation and end up in hell? To burn, separated from God. You knew all about him. You knew all the songs about him. You knew the scriptures that you needed to quote. And you came up to the altar every time the prayer service, that they called you up. And when you were going through something, you showed up to the altar. And then you wonder why it don't work in real life. And you fold over everything that happens.
Right.
You're one of those people that I called. You agree with the faith, but you don't take part in it. And it's not for our fellow Christians to have judgment on this person, but to pray for them.
Yeah.
To make intercession with them. To encourage them into Bible study.
Amen, brother.
To encourage their heart. To encourage them to read their word. Some read the word and can quote it better than you can. They don't really truly believe in it. Watch them crack at every little bit of trouble and fold into every bit of temptation. Is this your story? If you're honest with yourself, is this your story? Or they're a morally good person. They won't cheat, kill, or steal, but they won't repent and claim Jesus in their heart. Is this your story? You know, and then there's another Christian that they got saved. They repented and baptized. Even got the Holy Ghost. But they still struggle with faith. Because they think that they're not supposed to have problems. That troubles won't find them. But the reality is that Jesus told us that there's going to be trouble. That there's going to be trial and tribulation. It's going to happen in your life. But these things need to happen for a reason. To make you stronger. A lot of us are able to testify of the goodness of Jesus and the power in his name. As a matter of fact, in the beginning of our church, it's called Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So, if you're here right now, he's already part of your story.
Amen.
So why not make him a complete start part of your story? So what we must do is lean on his unchanging hand. Depend on him in good times. Depend on him in the midst of a pandemic. Call on him as we transition into a new year. Seek him while he may be found.
Yes.
Give your life to Jesus because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Trust in Jesus because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Grow stronger in him because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Seek him continually. Because you're not strong enough on your own. And it's the right thing to do. Believe that he is the answer to every problem in your life. sick parents, sick family, bills mounting up, you lost your job, you're struggling, your heart is heavy over personal issues with your wife or your husband, your kids are in disarray, you have to still seek God because you need Him. I can't think of a scenario in your life that you don't need Him. We're now transitioning into a time when faith in Jesus means more to your life than it has ever before. Your Bible is not a prop to bring to church. It is the roadmap for your life. It is your instruction manual on how to use what He put in you. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I'm supposed to tell you that your story is not finished.
That's right.
It's not finished yet. Some chapters in your life seem to be so long. It seems that it's never going to end. That season in your life seems to go on and on. But God is tearing you down to build you up.
Hallelujah.
God is trying to do a great work in you. How can you say you have faith if you've never had a reason to use your faith?
Right.
And if you claim greater faith, watch out. Because there's a greater trial to help you make it to a place where you have greater faith. God doesn't just magically give you all those traits, but He builds you up. He teaches you. He grows you. When I was a young man and I just got ordained as a preacher, I was all excited and I was running to tell my mother about it. And she looked at me square in the face after I finished talking. And she said, son, I am glad to see you going in that direction. But right now, you agree with faith and you know the words the same. But you haven't been through anything yet.
Oh, wow.
Now, at first I was upset.
Yeah.
At first I thought, you know, that if anybody should be excited for me, she should be. Yeah. And why would she say such a thing? Well, then I kept on living.
Yes.
Separated from God for a time. Disconnected from the Spirit of God. So I thought. Went astray into the world. A faith that was not strong like it needed to be. And I knew the word and it would pop up in my conscience all the time while I was drinking or whatever I was doing. And it would pop up and word and the scripture would keep coming to me until God was like, I have to stop you. And then I experienced the return to the faith. I experienced what it was like to start all over and have God build you up. And God train your heart. And God retrain your mind. And transform your thinking. And transform the way you live. See, you think that you have all the answers where you are. And a lot of us make exceptions to the rule on our own. But the word is unchanging.
Amen.
And how you get to God never changes.
That's right.
And how you get to salvation is not going to move. The formula is still the same. And the work that Jesus did is still the same. And it's still where you have to come to Him with a repentant heart. You still have to come to Him with a heart that's ready to change. A heart that's ready to be transformed. And you got to be ready to get in your word. And you got to be ready to spend time in prayer. This is the way that it goes. And then you find out that when you're saved, that trials and tribulations come. And then they come and you start gathering other things in the faith. Other things that you didn't know that you need, but God begins to give them to you. You begin to suffer things in the spirit that you didn't know that you had to go through. Because God wanted to draw you closer to Him. God wanted to bring you in closer to Him because He loved you. Some of you were meant to be a witness for Him. Maybe in preaching. Some were meant to be a witness to Him. Maybe in teaching. Some were meant to be a witness to Him. Maybe in your singing. Some were meant to be a witness to Him. Maybe in ministry of helps. However it is that God was ready to use you, He's got to bring you to that place. And when you get there, think not that you have arrived, but you're still in the press. Your story is not over, but it's just beginning. God is writing your story right now. But I would rather write my story with God in my life. I would rather write my story knowing that I'm in the will of God and I have an expected end. It is horrible to be separated from God and stuck in your story. Some people's story end with an incomplete. I wouldn't want to find myself in that place. That you could end with an incomplete. There's a lot of things that go on in this world that have our country in an uproar. Our neighbors, our people, the people that we know. There's a lot of issues. But you as a Christian should have one thing that you stand on. And that's the love of Christ. Because He did it all for one reason. And that is love. And His blood that He shared was the work that was done. That continues to work down through the end of time. It continues to work for you every day of your life. You can even plead on the blood of Jesus. And it'll work for you. Because the power was in the blood that He shed. Because it set you free. It released you. It unchained you. It broke that chain. All we have to do is call on Him. You don't have to rest in confusion. You don't have to be confused because you go through a trial. Ask God. He is the one that reveals all things. Your story is not finished yet. God does not waste any growth moments in your life. So don't you waste them.
That's right.
Commune in prayer, elevate in worship, solidify in faith, show love in fellowship, and obedience in witness. And I hope to see you in glory. When this earthly story is over, and our time comes to an end here, and He cracks the sky, I hope to see you. To rejoice with you.
Amen.
To worship with you. As we praise our Lord and Savior for all that He has done. Oh, let the Spirit of God take over in your life today. Because there's an expected end for those who believe. Oh, there is joy in believing in Him. Oh, there is power in knowing He is by your side. There's a peace that is added to your life.
Yes.
And added to your story. So write with the pen that the Holy Ghost has filled. Write with the pen that the Holy Ghost has involved in the every stroke. Because He knows what God has in store for you. So all you have to do is trust in Him.
Amen.
I know I do. Every day. That's why I implore you, as we go into the new year, they don't know what they're doing with all these things in the world. I don't care, the elections, the vaccines, the pandemic, all the strife, these tensions. These things are going to be in the world. I just ask you to be of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. So that you can walk in glory one day.
Everybody said amen to that.